He will complete it. And it's just good to be born again. It's good to be walking a life that's delivered. It's good to be serving him, even as Sister Greg shared earlier. It's good to be able to. We are ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. You and I have. We've been given that ministry to go tell a dying world how they can be reconciled to a holy God. Nothing more important than I can be talking about than telling somebody who's lost, can letting them know how they can be reconciled with a holy and a righteous God. I want to remind us a couple quick things. This was my omission. I meant to give this to the ushers. Thank you, ushers. I meant to give it to them earlier, but prayerfully you got Revelation 21, 1 through 4. We're going to read that in just a moment. Prayerfully you got that. If not, raise your hand. We'll put a copy in your hand of the Word of God. That's not my primary text this morning, but we are going to reference it this morning. Also, just want to greet our visitors and guests. Always good to have visitors and guests to come and worship the Lord with us. And we want to acknowledge you again at the end of service. But I just wanted to say that now. I saw a few of our sisters coming in just a few moments ago. And so it's just good to have all of y'all with us today. Also, I meant to mention this at prayer time. Be praying this week as we get ready to have Vacation Bible School on Thursday night and Friday night from 5:30 to 8. A few of us went out to pass out some flyers yesterday. We'll be going again tomorrow afternoon at 7 o'clock. So be praying that God would draw young people and old people. We go all the way up to adults, that God would draw to love fellowship these next those Thursday and Friday. But even more importantly, of course, draw unto himself. I want to see people saved. And those that are saved want to see us all the more encouraged or corrected or as we go along this Christian walk. So be praying for our VBS coming up on Thursday and Friday. And also next Sunday will be our Youth Recognition Sunday. I want to encourage the parents and the teenagers. You can do this yourself. There's some youth recognition forms out there on the credenza. You need to get those to Brother Scott today. You need to get those to him today if you want to be acknowledged next Sunday. Somebody say today. Today, you want to get those to him today. If you want to be acknowledged of what what the Lord has done in your life, in your children's life, spiritually, academically, or athletically, or whatever this past year, you want to acknowledge them next Sunday. And Pastor Clinton Waller, he's going to bring our message next Sunday for us. So we thank God for one of our very own, as they say, one of our very own, Clinton Waller. I'm going to ask you to stand now, please, and take the scriptures, the Word of God in your hand. Also, it's in your bulletin. So I continue preaching through 1 John. I'm moving kind of toward the end of 1 John. We're in 1 John 4. Emphasis this morning is going to be verses 12 through 16. I'm going to read verse 11. We went over to verse 11 last week, but I'm going to start with verse 11. But the preaching emphasis this morning is verses 12 through 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm reading from the ESV translation. It says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit," the Holy Spirit. "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. God is love." That's one of his attributes. "And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." I'm going to preach from this thought this morning. The reasons why we love. The reasons why we love. Subtitle could also be "The Abiding Test." The Abiding Test. The reasons why we love. You may be seated. The reasons why we love are the abiding test. My subtopic. The Abiding Test. Father, we pray indeed that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight. O God, my Redeemer. Speak now, Father, and then give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what thus saith the Lord. And then fill us with your Holy Spirit. We might live these truths out. That we might indeed love one another. Because you are love. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The reasons why we love. This is really kind of like a part two of last week's message, kind of a continuation of last week's message when I asked the question, how are you doing in your love test? How are you doing? And so even from last week, if you follow in Christ, some evidences of your true Christianity, that you really do have a relationship with the Lord, that you are abiding in him and he's abiding in you. A few things are these from last week. True Christians, true followers of Christ, we love because God is love. We love because God is love, our Heavenly Father. That's one of his attributes. True Christians, true followers of Christ, we love because we follow the example of God's sacrificial love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God demonstrates his own love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we are following the example of God, our Heavenly Father. We are following the example of Jesus Christ. Love is demonstrative. Love is an action word. It shows. So we love because we're following the example of our God. True Christians, we love. Listen, we love out of obligation. It is a commandment. We love out of obligation, but also out of appreciation. We love out of obligation. It's a command, but also out of appreciation through the Holy Spirit. I love because I'm glad God loves me. I'm glad Jesus loves me. So the least I can do is try to love others out of appreciation, but also out of obligation. It's a commandment. It's not an option. It's not Jesus saying, hey, go love if you feel like it. Or God saying, go love if you feel like it. Also, listen, Christian love is initiated regardless of the response of the one being loved. Oh, that's a good one. You need to camp on that one again. Christian love, true Christian love, is shown, it's initiated regardless of the response of the one being loved. See, everybody you love, not going to love you back. Everybody you love or show love to, not going to love you back. So our love in others is not contingent upon the response that we get. Think about it. God loved us even when we did not love him. He loved us first, right? He came and got us. That's last week's text. He came and got us. The reasons why we love. Verse 12 of today's text. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. This word abide is mentioned like 6 times in these 5 verses that we're going to go over this morning. So it's very apparent that God wants us to understand about abiding. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But even before that, verse 12, John says, nobody's ever seen God. Nobody's ever seen God in his full glory. Nobody. Now we see evidences of God. We know that he exists. Just like nobody, we don't literally see this wind. But when I go outside, I see the trees swaying or the leaves blowing or I feel it on my face. I know the wind is real, even though I don't see the wind. I know God is real, even though I've never seen God. God is spirit. Jesus said, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. No one has seen God, but we will get to see him one day. I said, we will get to see him one day, the follower of Christ, the Christian. We'll get to see him one day face to face. Listen to Revelation chapter 21, verses 1-4. That's what I had the ushers to pass out. Or should I say it right? The ushers to pass out. I had the ushers to pass this out. Revelation 21, 1-4 says this. Listen, this is a great, great 4 verses for the Christian. John says, the same John who wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the Gospel of John, the Holy Spirit had him write Revelation 2. John said, it's on your sheet, it's in the Bible, Revelation 21, verses 1-4. John said, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, And he being God, listen to this, saints, will dwell among them, and they shall be his people. And God himself, the creator, the maker of the whole universe, God himself, the one who is all powerful, God himself, the one who is all knowing, God himself, the one who is omnipresent, God himself will be among them, them being those of us who follow Christ, those who are saved, those of us who are going to be in heaven. God will be among them, or should I say among us, or among us. I pray you can say among us. If not, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make sure you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. God will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, every tear from our eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. I'm glad that one day death is going to be gone. I'm glad one day pain and suffering is going to be gone. I'm glad one day paying bills is going to be gone. I'm glad one day the wicked will cease from troubling and the weary will be at rest. One day we will be in the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus Christ, not having to worry about the penalty of sin, not having to worry about the power of sin, not even having to worry about the presence of sin. Oh, saints, that's a glorious day. I like what Minister Terman prayed earlier. Some theologian said, as a Christian, we ought to keep our heads in heaven and our feet on earth. I like that. Our head in heaven. Only the person that's really heavenly minded, you know the old saying, if you're so heavenly minded, you know earthly good. No, Brother Terrence, if we really are heavenly minded, then and only then are we really any earthly good. If we start thinking with an eternal and a biblical perspective, I look forward to going to heaven. I won't necessarily rush it, but I look forward to getting there one day. I said, I look forward to getting to heaven one day. That's a reality, saints. That's a reality. That impacts the way we live because we're headed to another place. This place here is not my home, sister cousin. This place is not my home. I'm just a graveyard traveler. We are like aliens in a foreign land. This is not our home. I said, this is not our home. We just passing through, but while we're here, we need to make a difference for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to make a difference for God, but I don't have it twisted. I know I'm not living here forever. I said, I'm not living here forever. Just passing through. But one day we will get to see God face to face. One day we will behold the face of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But now we can't see God like that. Matter of fact, Moses, God spoke to him through the burning bush. You know, throughout the Bible, we see theophanies and we see Christophanies when God will appear from time to time, but not in his full glory. But matter of fact, Moses made that request. He said, God, I want to see you face to face. And God said, well, now, Moses, if I did that, I had to be your eulogist. You know, I had to get ready to bury you. No man can see me and live, but I like your request. I like you want to know more about me. This is what I'm going to do, Moses. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to hide you kind of behind this rock and I'm going to pass by and you'll get a little glimpse of my glory. That's about all you can handle, Moses. Just a little glimpse of my glory. But one day we'll get to see him face to face. But today, saints, listen to this. Today, the best way that we see God today, is by showing love toward one another. Are y'all getting that this morning? That's the best way we see God today, is by showing love to one another. Matter of fact, Jesus says it in John 13, as I'm quoted later, but I just put it in right here. Jesus said, if you have love for one another, he said, that way the world will know that you are my disciples. So the way we behave toward one another, the love we show, don't show toward one another, really shows the world if God is real or not. It helps them. It's like a tangible witness. And we know God is real, but the law says when you show love toward one another, that's letting people know that, hey, it's something different about you. That's what Jesus said. I like what John MacArthur says. He has a great quote. You might want to write this down. He says that God's love is proclaimed in the word, proclaimed in his word, his love, proved at the cross, and perfected in the Christian. Let me say that again. God's love is proclaimed in his word. From Genesis to Revelation, it's like a massive 66 book love letter to you and to me. God's love is proclaimed in the word of God. It's perfected on the cross. I'm proved on the cross, and perfected. It's being perfected in the Christian. God's love, God's love. The reasons why we love. We love, here it is, verse 12. We love because God is in us. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? We love because God is in us. That's what verse 12 says. Verse 12 says it very clearly. It says, hey, look, beloved, no one has ever seen God. If we do love one another, God abides or hangs out in us, and his love is being perfected in us. Verse 13 says, by this we know. By this we know. These verses, and really all of 1 John, really is a great book. For those of you who might kind of struggle with your, do I belong to Jesus or not? And, you know, eternal security, we call it. Am I a Christian or not? Am I in or am I not? That's why some of my titles through this series have been like, which group are you in? How you living? You know, I mean, really, this is the life test. We can say all day, I belong to the Lord. Yeah, I got baptized. I joined the church. I did this. But how you living? There's some black and white criteria in the Word of God that shows really if you belong to him or not. You could have said a little prayer. You could have walked the aisle. You could have done all those things and still not know Jesus. Those are not the prerequisites, by the way. You got to walk the aisle. You got to do this. Those are not prerequisites. The prerequisite is you got to say, hey, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a savior. I repent. I turn away from my sin and I put my faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And I begin to follow him. So verse 13 says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. Listen to this, saints. I know this is kind of foundational, or at least it should be. Listen. We love because the Holy Spirit of God is inside of us. Is that pretty clear? Is that clear enough? Remember, I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks. You can't have this type of love just conjured up on your own. You need help from the Lord. Brother Shiro, we need some help from the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, produce your good fruit of love in this particular situation. I'm not really feeling love toward this person right there. So we love because the Holy Spirit is in us. Listen, the internal witness of the Holy Spirit reveals itself by an external show of love. Did y'all catch that? The internal witness of the Holy Spirit who is in us, has an external witness of a show of love. The fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Let me talk about this word abide for a minute. Like I said, it's listed 6 times in these 5 verses that we're looking at this morning. To abide. It basically means to remain. It means to hang out with or to be in, to abide. So when we see that word abide, when it says God abides in us, that means God lives in us. God is in us. He hangs out in us. In the person of the Holy Spirit, God is in us. This word abide means to remain, to hang out in, or to hang out with. You all remember, at least I know at least a couple of you all remember my illustration about the dirty dishes and the water and the soapy water. You get that dirty dish or that dirty pot and pan and you put it down in some soapy water. And first that stuff is crushed. It don't want how to come off. I experienced it just yesterday. I'm the dish man at our house. I experienced it just yesterday. That stuff wouldn't come off. I put it down in some soapy water. I let it abide there for about 15, 20 minutes. Let it hang out in there for a while. And I came back. That stuff came off so easy. Just it's falling off. You know, when you abide with somebody, it's going to make a difference in your life. That's all I'm saying. It's going to make a difference. So if you are abiding with the Lord, if you're hanging out with him and he's inside of you, it's going to make a difference. He will make a difference in your life. If you're abiding with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're praying to our Lord in the Word of God, and he's inside of you, it's going to make a difference in your life. That's Christianity 101. It's going to make a difference in your life. If you say, well, I met the Lord and I stayed the same. Well, no, you didn't really meet the Lord. Ask Saul, at least you didn't receive the Lord. Ask Saul, he was going down to Damascus to persecute Christians, to try to kill some Christians. And he met the Lord Jesus Christ. He met Jesus on the Damascus road and his life was totally changed. He went from being a church persecutor to being a church planner. And for those of you who are reading through the book of Acts with me, you keep reading through Acts. I'm a couple of days ahead of you, because we put it in the bulletin. Paul, he's telling everybody. He was telling the governor. He was telling our King Agrippa. He was telling everybody, yeah, my life, I grew up religious. I loved God. But I thought this Christian thing was, they were heretics, and I was having them thrown in jail. But oh, I met Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, and it changed my life. And now I got to tell somebody about Jesus. When you meet Jesus in a real way, we don't have to send you to an evangelism class. We don't have to take you to this type of class. You're gonna go tell somebody about Jesus. You're gonna say, I met this man and he changed my life. We don't have to just drum up some new stuff. Just tell people what Christ, kind of like what Carrie just did a few minutes ago. Tell people what God, what Jesus is doing in your life. If you got a relationship with him, he does some phenomenal, some miraculous things in our lives. Number one, he gives us eternal life. If you need a bigger miracle than that, I'm sorry, I can't help you out. I was on my way to hell, I met Jesus, and now I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, that's miracle enough right there. Now, he's done a lot of other things since then, and he's still doing things, but you can't meet Jesus and remain the same. See, young people and older people too, be careful who you abide with. Sister Marissa, I know you're getting ready to go back to UT in a few minutes, a couple of weeks maybe. Be careful who you abide with. The rest of you as regular school or college, or you might be moving out of your parents' home. Be careful who you hang out with. If I would abide, you know how we're going to blame other folks. If I was abiding with some other people in college, I would have cut my college time down by about a year and a half. I was abiding with the wrong crowd. They weren't studying, I wasn't studying. That wasn't a good combination. Sister Hardaway, that wasn't a good combination. You got to be careful who you abide with. On a more serious sense, Brother Vizo, I mean, I typically I don't mind, because I ask people to pray, and it's just, you know, we live in this thing called life, and life is real. I have a nephew that my parents helped raise him, Bronte, as y'all might have heard me talk about him. He's in his 40s now, but he has a son, so my great nephew, who's like 25. And I'm talking about abiding, but you need to be careful who you hang around. So he's 25 and he's still trying to figure stuff out. And he went to college and got over in college and had more love for marijuana than other stuff. So got kicked out of college because of drugs and this and that, and just hard headed. And so then, he's kind of in and out of jail. And so, my mother, who's his great grandmother, sometimes he tried to get her to cut his grass and all that. Can't catch up with him, but when he get in jail, he's calling, writing letters, putting a message in a bottle, doing all kind of stuff, trying to get a message to my mother. My mother. So when he got out, you know, he talked that good stuff while he in there. So he got out around Easter, and he wasn't in there too long, but he's like, mama, that's what he called. Mama, I'm going to do better this time. I'm going to do better. And really, he might want to do better. But as best I can discern, he doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I think he wants to do better, but he got out. He said, I'm going to do better. 2 days later, he's back hanging out with the same crowd, doing the same, also abiding, or hanging around the same crowd. So because of that, unfortunately, some stuff went down. As the kids said, some stuff popped off, and there was some shooting and this and that, and wasn't anybody killed or anything. But he went back home a couple of days later. They knocking at his door because he's on probation. They said, well, yeah, we heard that you were abiding or hanging out up there, and since you're on the probation, we got to go take you in. They got him for having a firearm and something else. Got him on 2 felonies because he was abiding with the wrong crowd. He needed to learn how to abide with the Lord. So y'all pray for him. Y'all think about his name is Jawan. Pray for him, my little great nephew. But see, you got to be careful who you abide with, who you hang out with, who you align yourself with. You can be friendly to all people, but you got to be careful who you let in your inner circle. Jesus ministered to all, but he had 12. He had three. He had an inner circle. You got to be careful who you abide with. Number one, you need to abide with the Lord. You need to hang out with God, hang out with Jesus, and let him direct you to the right type of friends. And listen to what Jesus says. We see, the more you abide with the Lord, his thoughts will become your thoughts. His ways will become your ways. And one of his ways is to show love to others. Listen to what Jesus said in John 15:5. Listen to what Jesus says. Write that down and read it later. John 15:5. He said, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me. That's what Jesus said. He who hangs out with me. He who spends some time with me. He who abides in me and I in him. He bears much fruit. One of those fruits can be love. He bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. See, saints, we got to get that through our head. Even as a Christian, I can't live this Christian life on my own. So, all right, Lord, thank you for saving me. I got it. Now, I'll hook back up with you when we get to heaven. No, no. You and I need the Lord every day. We need the Lord every day. We need the Lord in the morning, mid-morning, midday, mid-afternoon, early evening, late evening. We need the Lord every day. Because apart from him, we can do nothing that's of any type of eternal value, any type of good value. That's what Jesus said. It's the abiding test. How you abiding, who you hanging out with, who you're rolling with. Jesus says in John 14, 23 is another good passage to read. John 14, 23. He said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him. And we, Jesus says, will come to him and make our home or make our abode with him. That sounds like abiding to me. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll be keeping my word and my Father's going to be with you and I'm going to be with you. We're going to make our home with you, our abode with you. So it's the abiding test. The reason why we love because God is in us. We love because of the Holy Spirit. We love out of the Holy Spirit who is in us. Again, God has given us all that we need pertaining to life and godliness. I think sometimes we make part of this Christian walk just too difficult. Say, God, I need help loving like I should love. You ever prayed that? Lord, I need help loving agape, the sacrificial type of love. You know, the four different type of love we talked about last week. This is the sacrificial type of love. Lord, I need help with this. Probably if I took a poll, none of us in here got this down 100%. I said, Lord, I need some help to love this person. It could be anybody. It could be somebody in your household. It could be somebody on your job that's getting on your last nerve. Lord, help me to love them with a Christ-like love. Help me not to be thinking all this hateful stuff toward them. Like, I hope they get fired. I hope they get trans. You should be saying, Lord, save them, but they're not saved. Right? They are saved. We need to be, you know, clicking better. So we love because God is in us. We love because we can love out of the Holy Spirit who is in us. See that right there in verse 13. It says, God has given us of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So it's not like God is sending us off to do something and we don't have the resources. We don't have the wherewithal to pull it off. It's not like God is saying, okay, y'all go do that on your own. Now, Jesus even said before he left, he said, look, fellas, I'm getting ready to leave, but I'm going to send y'all another helper, another of the exact same kind. He's going to lead you into all truth. He's going to convict you of sin. He's going to give you power over sin. That's the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So another thing, this is what Jesus said. I quoted this earlier. Let me just read it to you, John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another, Jesus says. Okay, what is one of the reasons? Jesus said, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This has missiological implications. This has, I can't be telling somebody about the love of God. And I don't even have really any true love toward them. So Jesus said, love others that people might know that you sent me. Look at verse 14. John says, and we have seen and testified. John is saying, I've seen Jesus. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. 1 John 4:14. So another reason we love, I'm talking about reasons why we love. We love because God is in us. We love because the Spirit of God is in us. We can love out of the Holy Spirit through his power. Another reason we love because God, listen right there in verse 14, God has sent his Son Jesus. John said God has sent his Son Jesus to be the Savior of the world. Now we know the whole world is not going to be saved. Many reject Christ, but Christ, I've often heard it say his death is sufficient for all, but only efficient for those who receive him as Lord and Savior. But one of the reasons, beloved, that you and I strive to love is because God sent his Son Jesus to save the world. And so we all are missionaries, not just the pastor, the elders, or the preachers, or the teachers. We're all, somebody say, I am a missionary. You know, if you say that or not, if you're a follower of Christ, you are a missionary. Say, I am a missionary. We are all called on mission to tell people about the love of God, the love of Christ, to tell them and to show them. So verse 14 gives us that we love because God sent his Son Jesus to be the Savior of the world, to be the Savior of the world. And one of the most effective ways to share the gospel is by just living it out. Just living it out, showing people the love of God, the love of Christ. And when we open our mouths, it has more credence. It has some, you know, it has more substance because you've been living it out. Does that make sense? I mean, you know, I don't think any other groups in all of the world. I've been in a fraternity. I've played football. None of those groups say our main mission. We got to love everybody. No, but the Christian church, we're called to love others. And just because you love others, that doesn't mean you don't go to a person from time to time, you know, and confront them on certain issues. It doesn't mean that, but still we're called to have a biblical love for one another. Jesus said it in John 13:34-35, but also listen to this. Jesus praised this in John 17, just kind of let you know how important this is to God, this is to Jesus. In John 17, verse 20, as Jesus is praying, this is shortly before he went to the cross. And so, obviously we know about the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. If it's possible, pass this cup, but not my will, but thy will be done. But also this prayer, John 17, Jesus prays for himself. Then he prays for his immediate followers, Peter, James, John, those guys. But then listen, he prays for you and for me. Well, what did he pray? Here it is. I'm glad you asked. John 17, verse 20. Jesus prays it. He said, Father, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, meaning Peter and John and those guys. I'm not just praying for them, but for those also who believe in me. Talking about people who in the future, like us, would put our faith in Christ. But those who will believe in me through their word, the word of the apostles, that they may be, this is what Jesus was praying, that they may all be one. Talking about the Christian, the follower of Christ, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they all may be one in us, that they may be one in us. And what is this going to do, Jesus? That they may be one in us so that the world may believe or that the world may know that you sent me. Now, that's very important. Again, that's missiological implications. Jesus is saying, Father, help make them being those of us who profess faith in Christ, help them to be as you and me are. Help them to be as one. Help them to walk in a way that's different from any other social group, any other gathering of people. Help them to walk as one. Why, Jesus? Well, with that, the world would be given a great picture of the gospel that indeed Christ did, God did send Jesus into this world. Now listen, when the Christian church, when we as followers of Christ, really kind of act and react the same way that the world does, that doesn't cause any distinctiveness among us. Can I say that again? When you and I handle all situations, be it with other people, situated in the same way that the whole listening, all other unsaved folks do, that doesn't point to any difference in you and me than the world, right? Y'all looking kind of confused. Let me maybe see, say it a little clearer. If I'm walking through life and I'm treating everybody else the same way the whole world treats everybody else, what's different from me than the person who say they don't worship Jesus? What's different from me than the Buddhist or the pagan or the law? What's different with me? It should be some difference in the way that you and I relate to each other and relate to others, period. Can I say that one more time? There should be some difference in the way that we relate to others. Matter of fact, Jesus says it again. Let me repeat Jesus. I'll just give you the words of Jesus. That should be enough, right? That should be enough, right? That is enough. I'm not asking for any confirmation. That is enough. In the words of Jesus. He said, if you have love for one another, the world will know that he indeed, that we belong to him. And then he prays that if you all are walking in one, the world will know and the world will believe that God sent him into this world. So those are great, great passages that have witnessing or missiological implications. Because we got to have the love of God, the love of Christ. So you and I, we don't see God. We don't see Jesus. We see him only in a spiritual sense. But as we love one another and as we walk in unity with one another, again, it gives a very tangible and physical and visible testimony to a watching world. Or shall I say a watching lost world. People should be able to say, them Christians that I know, they live holy. They love the Lord, and I'm really amazed how they love one another and how they love other people. People should be able to tangibly see that in your life and in my life. The holiness of God and the love and mercy and grace of God. attributes of God. You know, there are certain attributes of God that we call him, he can communicate certain attributes to us. Now, certain attributes we never have, like, you know, omnipresent and all powerful and all things. But an attribute like the love of God, that's reachable by us. I said, that's reachable by us. How can you say that, Pastor? Well, I'm just saying this right here in this verse. I've been reading it all this morning. If you love God, if you have love, his love is being perfected in us. So this is a doable thing. This is not like impossible. I can't do this. I can't love him. I can't love her. Well, if you know Jesus, if you know God, if the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you, we quote these other verses. All things are possible in Christ, right? All things are possible. So as the Holy Spirit controls your life and your life and my life, he can allow us, he does allow us to love even what we might deem the unlovable. He can allow you to love people that you may not even really not necessarily like all of their traits or their habits. I often say, be honest, look in the mirror, you ain't like all your own habits. You ain't like all your own traits. So you can't be talking, well, I ain't gonna love him or her because I don't like how they do so. I don't like the way they walk. I don't like the way they hold their mouth. I don't like it. We come up with all kind of crazy stuff. God said, love them anyway. Through him. Through him, right? Because he's given us of his spirit. So we can love. We can love. We can love. So this morning, let me read verse 15 and 16. I'm almost through. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. I love the word of God, how it gives us such great balance. Give us a whole picture. If you would go back, we won't go back this morning. But in verse 2, it talks about, in 1 John 4, it talks about how whoever says that Jesus has come in the flesh. That's amplifying the humanity of Christ, that Jesus Christ is all man. Y'all hear me? Jesus Christ is all man. Well, right here in this verse, it says, whoever saying that Jesus is the Son of God, meaning Jesus is equal with God. So that points to the deity of Christ, that Christ is all God. So here it is in 14 verses here, you get Jesus is all man, but then you read a few verses later, it's saying Jesus is all God. Hey, that's the uniqueness of our Lord and Savior. He's all God, yet all man. I don't know how he did that, but he is all God, yet all man. So whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, meaning again, he's equal with God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know, this is eternal security again, we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. Verse 16, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Again, a verse like that, and this is something you need to pray and ask the Lord, but a verse like that is something that should secure you and settle you in who you are in the Lord. Because John says, as the Holy Spirit tells him, right, say, hey, God is love, and if you are abiding in love, and you know, if that's how you show love toward others, that means God is really in you and you in him. Because again, we can't pull this off in your own strength. You can't pull this off under your own auspices. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. You and I need the help of the Lord. So this morning, as I've gone through this, there are really three witnesses in this text this morning. Three witnesses, real quickly, as I give these to you, if you want to write them down. Three witnesses. We got the witness of the Christian that Jesus Christ is God's son. That's our witness. That's one of our witnesses. We don't back off that at all. We let people know that Christ is the Son of God. Sister Autumn, he's equal with God. That's a witness of the Christian. We tell people that we serve a Christ who is all God. Then also a witness from the text this morning, that was in verse 15. Also a witness this morning from the text, verse 13, 1 John 4, the witness in the Christian. The witness in the Christian by the Holy Spirit. Beloved, I know I'm going to heaven for no other reason than I know that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God is inside of me. I know that he led me to Christ. I know that he has and continue to show me my sinfulness and my need for a savior. So we have an internal witness. It's the Holy Spirit. The internal witness of the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, the internal witness of the Holy Spirit. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. The Holy Spirit. So it's not like I got to wonder, I don't know if I belong to him or not. Well, no, we got the internal witness. The internal witness, and once again, has an external witness. You can't say you had an internal witness of the Holy Spirit and your life doesn't show it at all. No fruit. You know, John talks about what we practice. So if you got the internal witness, if the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you, that's going to be coming through your lifestyle. Is that clear this morning? Third witness. We have the witness of the Christian. We say that, yeah, Jesus is God the Son. He is our Messiah. He is Emmanuel, God with us. You have the witness in the Christian. We have the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. And you have the witness that's through the Christian, that's through us. The witness that's through the Christian, that God is love, verse 14, and that he has sent his Son to die for his people. So that's a witness through the Christian, a witness that comes through us. Similar to the number one, but the witness that comes through us, that Jesus Christ, that God sent his Son to die for us. But not only died, but rose again. You know, we sing that song. I think I mentioned it last week a little bit. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. He hung his head and then he died. But that's not how the story ends. I said, that's not how the story ends. Because 3 days later, he rose again. Now that's love. That's love. And even right now, saints, even right now, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, praying for you and me, making intercession for us. We have a high priestly prayer. Sometimes mama can't get the prayer through. Sometimes the pastor can't get the prayer through. Sometimes daddy can't get the prayer through. Sometimes the deacon can't get the prayer through. But Jesus can always get the prayer through. He can always get the prayer through. So Jesus, while he was here, he didn't just preach the love of God, but he lived it. The Bible says in several places, Jesus, Sister Carrie, was often moved, Sister Lowe, with compassion. Moved with compassion. And he would do things like he would heal the sick. He would get eyesight to the blind, like a blind Bartimaeus. He would indeed allow the mute to talk and the lame to walk. Not only that, he would even cleanse the lepers. People wouldn't even come close to a leper or touch the leper, but Jesus would cleanse the lepers. He would cast out demons. That's love being shown, being demonstrated. And watch this. He would even on a few occasions, raise people even from the dead. And then he would forgive sinners. I said he would forgive sinners. And I'm glad he still forgives sinners. He's still forgiving sinners. Matter of fact, he said, I've come to seek and to save those who are lost. Now that's love. That's true compassion. That's love. And he's our perfect example. He's the one that we model. He's the one that we follow after. The reasons why we love. We love because God is in us. It's like God is in us. That's why we love. God is in us. We love because we love out of the Holy Spirit who is in us. Not like I'm conjuring this, gritting my teeth, I'm going to love him. No, I said, Holy Spirit, you got to help me extra hard on this one. We love because the Holy Spirit is in us. We love because God has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. He's the Savior of the world. So we are, again, his missionaries. We are 2 Corinthians 5. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. All of us have a ministry. So you might be wondering, my gifts and talents are, where you define it out. But generally, all of us have the ministry of reconciliation, of telling people how they can be made right with a holy God. I can't think of anything more important to share with people. I know all in the NBA, you know, I watch the NBA during the playoffs mostly, but I know in this offseason, all this switching and going, you know, let's see, LeBron's still in LA, I think. Let's see, KD is in New Jersey. I'm trying to figure, Kawhi went to the Clippers. Yeah, shipping all around. That's a lot to talk about. That's a lot to all the guys. And I know ladies people talk about that, but there's nothing more important to talk about than the fact that how a person can be made right with a holy God. All the other stuff is okay, but nothing like how you can be made right with a holy God. So we love because God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to be the Savior of the world and has given us. He's passed the baton to us to keep telling others about this. Let me end with this. You may want to turn there, Matthew 25. This is just some again, a tangible way of showing love, some tangible ways, and I'm sure some of you all do it, and some of us can get better. But Love is demonstrative. Love is an action. We can't just say, well, I love him, I love her, but what do our actions say? Matthew 25, and I'm just going to read this, because this is definitely like a sermon or a sermon series in and of itself, but it's called The Judgment. That's what a couple of titles and a couple of Bibles call it. Matthew 25, 31 through 40, talking about the reasons why we love and how our love, how we get to exhibit or show or display our love while here on planet Earth. This is Jesus, of course, is the great judge. Matthew 25, I'm going to start at verse 31. I think we're all there. But when the Son of Man, that's Jesus, comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations, listen to this scene, saints. All the nations, Sister Howard, all the nations will be gathered before him. And he, Jesus, will separate them from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep, that's to say, as a Christian, he will put the sheep on his right and the goats, the unsaved, the lost, on his left. Then, this is pertaining to the sheep. Then the king will say to those on his right, those who are saved, those who are Christians, those who we should be adhering to 1 John 4 and we should be loving others because God first loved us. This is what Christ is going to say. He's going to come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry. You gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. And you gave me something to drink. This is Jesus talking. I was a stranger, Brother Keith, and you invited me in. Again, love is an action. Say, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer. The righteous, this is Christian, it's us at this judgment, saved folks. Then the righteous will answer him. We'll answer the Lord. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king who is Jesus, will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Amen. Love is demonstrative. Love has action. Love is shown and known. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for revealing all the more this mandate throughout the scriptures, throughout 1 John, that our lifestyle doesn't matter, that we are called to a life of holiness, that we are called as followers of Jesus Christ to show love toward one another. You've told us, dear God, since you so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So, dear God, help us to do better in this area. As followers of Christ, as love fellowship, as people in the body of Christ, help us to show genuine love to other Christians and to other people. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So, Father, again, there are many things you've called us to, but Jesus mentions those two foremost commandments. Love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Then love our neighbor as ourself. All the commandments hinge on those. So help us, dear God, through your Spirit, to live this out, that people may see a difference in us and say, they truly are followers of Christ. God really did send his Son to save this world. Continue to abide in us and we in you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand if you can stand. The reasons why we love. Maybe you don't have this type of love in you because maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the first step. That's the first step. So even this morning, if the Lord is tugging on your heart, come. Scripture said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that's the first step. Surrender to him. Maybe you're here today and you are saved. You're born again. But you're looking for a church home. And if that's you today, you can come and join us here at Love Fellowship, where we do love God. We do love his word. We do love people. And we are striving to try to show this Christ-like love to others. So you can come today for salvation or for church membership. You may be seated. That's love. That's not how the story ends. That's love. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise for his great love toward us. His great love toward us that we are called to show to others. Amen. Amen. If you're visiting with us, please raise your hand if you're visiting with us. Amen. Amen. Your brother back there, God bless you. Yes. Okay. Amen. Amen. So you were at the wrong church. This is semi-Churchville. Now, Churchville is really a few blocks over, but if I see those folks, I'm saying, you weren't at the wrong church. If we're preaching Jesus or the Bible, you ain't at the wrong church. But I understand what they were saying. It was good to see him. I got to speak to him. I saw him in the hall. Yes, ma'am. Okay, amen. 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 Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Amen. Last week our sister came down and our Deacon Griggs and Mother Moore ministered to her, and the Lord was speaking to her heart on some things, and so we'll minister to you in just a few moments. But we welcome to our Love Fellowship. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. A couple quick announcements. Again, get those youth recognition forms. Our brother Rodney has a few, but some families here, some people here, we haven't seen any from you. So if you don't get it to them today, don't be saying next week, well, it'd be too late next week. So please get those forms filled out today before we leave today. And then you have an announcement in a second. Yes. Also, keep praying for our VBS. We're going to have a meeting right after morning service in the conference room. That's Thursday and Friday. Also, tomorrow at 7 p.m., those of you who can come, there's much power in prayer walking. So tomorrow we're just going to go and pass out flyers. We don't even knock on doors too much anymore. Sometimes we see people and talk to them, but we put flowers and people on their box, not in their box, but and talk to people. And so we're going to be doing that tomorrow at 7 p.m., walking the neighborhood. And we did that some yesterday. We're going to do it again tomorrow. So 7 o'clock, if you want to meet here tomorrow evening at the church, we'll be going out to do that. There's a sign-up sheet back there for New Mount Annie. We're going there in 2 weeks. So if you're going, please sign. We can get them kind of an approximate head count for food. But also, if you want to ride the bus, there's a sign-up sheet for that. Did you have anything? You good? Okay. All right. I was pointing at Brother Rodney. He's the keeper of the youth recognition forms. I was just saying he was good. Another thing, let's be praying. I saw it a little bit in the paper this morning. There are you know, many things that go on that that may not be right. And I know you can't just jump in with every cause. So, but some causes just pull on you. And a friend of mine is Brother Carlos Williams. He's a pastor over at Arch and Knob Baptist Church. And at 6 o'clock this evening, they're having a meeting there kind of pertaining to, some of y'all may have seen it or heard about what happened with the Hamilton County Police Department and some things that went on that just wasn't right, seemingly. So definitely pray about that meeting, and you may even want to attend. But, you know, as Christians, we live out this Christian life, and there are times certain things you need to speak up on. So that's just something to be prayerful about. But 6 o'clock this evening at Arch and Knob Baptist Church, where Pastor Carlos Williams serves, they're having a meeting, that's a concerned citizen meeting type of thing as it relates to some of the police brutality type of stuff. So be praying for that. God bless you. Have a great week this week. Remember that we are called and commanded and equipped to show the love of God to others, to show the love of God to others. So let us pray. Father, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you are in our lives, dear God. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be your worshipers and the followers of Christ. And you've given us a ministry of reconciliation. So, dear God, help us to be mindful as we live out this Christian life that we are to show godly characteristics and godly traits and attributes, Christ-like attributes that people will see in us. They will see our holiness. They will see our love for others. They will see kindness. They will see the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness and self-control. They will see those things in our lives, dear God, as we live them out to honor you and to really for our betterment as well. So help us, dear God, to make an impact wherever we are, on our jobs, in our homes, in the church, in our community, wherever it might be, dear God. Let us make an impact for you. Being mindful that you have called us to do that. We are salt and light. We are your people. We are salt and light. So help us to shine brightly this week. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Have a great week. Have a great week.